Greetings and welcome to the Peer Report. I'm your host, Rob Ludeman. It is time to bring the orange with a first timer, a first time guest, Mr. Jason Langer, our senior cloud solutions marketing manager who hails from the Seattle area. Jason, welcome to the program. It is a thrill to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. You know, what's that radio saying? Long time listener, first time caller, right?
So first time, long time. That's right. First time, long time. But you've been on the list and we finally got around to doing it on this Friday, which is fantastic. And thanks for carving out time. I know you're in the middle of a big move right now. We got the new house purchase, the potential like future retirement house, only one floor, you're telling me. How's the move going?
We're moving into that single floor living, you know, all the bathrooms, all the bedrooms. You know, for us older folks have been around the block a few times, Rob.
That's right. But what are you going to do with all the gear? Because I'm looking at Jason's office here behind me, and he's quite a collector of items. I see Star Wars things. Yeah, you're very pop culture-y.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. That's the short answer.
How does your wife let you even have all those things is kind of what I'm wondering.
Yeah, well, this used to be her office, and then I've kind of took it over, you know, during the pandemic. So the walls of Star Wars and my childhood Transformers that I've had my parents packed away for me. Yeah, they're going to all try to either find a new home in the new home, or unfortunately they might get packed away again, or they might even just go up on eBay. So we'll see.
That's right. We'll see. More than meets the eye, the Transformers. And that's what we hit today is VMware. More than meets the eye. See what I did there? How about
that? Yeah, talk about transformation.
Transformation, right? Transforming your VMware environments. And I'm excited to jump into that. Before we do, and on that pop culture subject, because we've debated this before, and I'm going to put it out there on the podcast. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, not a great movie. Change my mind. The people need to hear this. Change my mind and take a side out there if you want.
I mean, it's definitely...
I am not a fan.
Where it's definitely the weakest of the trilogy because I'm not counting the other one.
Right. That one never happened. Crystal Skull never happened.
Right. But I mean, you think about its competition, number one and number three, like, come on, iconic. So I feel like it's harshly judged. Okay. I think it's definitely gotten better as I've gotten older. But I think it's, you know, it's like the Solo movie. I think it got judged kind of hard on release, and then, you know, it's kind of aged like a fine wine or a fine cheese. But I mean, look, again, first movie, come on, the ball coming down and all that. And then, of course, Sean Connery in the third one. I mean, those are huge hills to climb over. So I give it a little, I recognize it's competition. So,
okay, that's fair. All right. You made a good case. I'm going to accept your case and we'll move on. And I'll only add that I've found over time that the third movie just becomes more and more quotable all the time. Just there's things that my friends and I are always pulling out of, you know, out of that movie.
It's a great one. There's a lot of good one-liners in there.
There's a lot there. So go out and watch them, everybody. They're always fun. If it's kind of a dull, you know, Friday night, or you just want to, you know, fire those things up, and they always seem to be on one of the networks all the time. So anyway, we will migrate away from pop culture minutes there, everyone. Thanks for your patience in that. And you, Jason, you've been with us now. What are we at? 6 months now? I know you got the running clock. Six, eight, something like that.
Seven. Started in August. It's halfway through March, which seems crazy, but 7 months wearing the orange is the new black. And it's been great. Obviously, for those that don't know, Rob is actually my boss. but it's been great to be here, Rob, obviously working on the team, you know, Melody and Roger and everybody's, it's been great. And everybody's been super welcoming, you know, not even just on the team, but through the external teams like Cody and his cats and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, no, it's a great fit, and you come in with great VMware chops, and that's where we're having you spend a lot of time. That's what we want to discuss for folks here is just kind of what's the landscape, the lay of the land, you know, and I think I'm even going to title this episode VMware everywhere, you know, like the Buzz Lightyear meme that is out there if everybody's sort of meme friendly. Yeah. But what I love also is you have your VMware chops, but you prior to that time at VMware, you were a partner, you were a VAR.
Yeah.
And Pure was in your bag to sell. What was the experience like as a partner selling Pure? I mostly positive, I think, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been, you know, this, I know how this is going to sound to the audience, but I've seen Pure grow up, right? I was there I think, was it 2011, the first, I think when the flash array was first being sold or first came to market, maybe 2010, if I get my dates right. But so I've seen it from the outside, and now seeing it on the inside is great. But yeah, we were a pure partner, working with, part of the reason why I just, you know, kind of looked at coming to Pure. So the experience was always great, but both from dealing with the local sales teams in the area. And of course the technology, right? When you're a VAR, you're going in and you're standing in front of people and you're trying to play that trusted advisor, and you want to put products in front of them that work and meet their solutions and all that other stuff. And Pure always solved the problems or met the requirements of what we were looking for, and never had an unsatisfied customer when it came to that. Now, we were using Pure back then, you know, solve a lot of VDI problems, you know, all flash back then. Like, we're going to time machine 10 years ago, right? Like, that was a novelty. You know what I mean? People were still doing caching or tiering of storage or like striping of spinning Rust to try to make performance. And then you're like, well, let's put this flash array in your environment and we're going to solve all these pain points. And we're actually going to identify bottlenecks further down or in the stack that's not your storage now, right? Like, maybe now you don't have enough compute, or maybe your queries for SQL aren't set up right because now the storage isn't the bottleneck. So it was really good. Really good experience.
It's always a nice thing to get accused properly of just moving the bottleneck somewhere else, right? When I used to work in serverland and we solve some of those latency issues on the server side, they go, okay, well now, you know, you've just moved the bottleneck somewhere else. And I went, that's fine. We did our part, but you know, you raise a good point. Like, flash for the VDI was an interesting thing. Like, there's that whole thing with like a bootstorm, right? It was like, hey, bootstorm, what does that really mean? That means everybody showed up at work at the same time at 9:02 and is trying to log in and get on and start accessing stuff. What happens to the ability to serve up data when disks are just freaking out and just searching for things all over the place? Bring in flash. Flash solves that and provides consistent performance and, you know, low latency, sub millisecond response times, all those great things that flash array did then and still does now for VDI, and even more so for VMware. Let's take a step back, because you come from that world. What's going on in the VMware space? Obviously, the big elephant in the room is the acquisition still pending, and I lived that world in the Sun to Oracle thing, where things just take a little bit of time with governments and legal entities. But that's going on. But I think we could fairly say that the momentum is there. I mean, you're a huge champion in talking about, like, VMware is everywhere, right? And you say that to the other solution marketing managers on the team and the other business units, right? There's just not a place where it hasn't pervaded. But in your view, where do you see things right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more bullish on it, I guess. You know, granted, you know, for the audience, I did, prior to coming to Pure, I was at VMware for 4 years. So I did see a little bit of how the sausage was made on the inside. I mean, just like, you know, it's human nature for change to cause concerns, right? But I also look at the realities of how much Broadcom is paying for VMware. It's, $65 billion or $62 or something like that. You know, that's a lot of money. And, you know, some people think, you know, they have the idea of, you know, are they going to strip it down to parts, or are they only going to, you know, service the enterprise customers? And, you know, and I'm like, well, again, my backstreet financials, you know, because like everybody on Twitter, I was a financial guy, you know, during the past weekend with SVP. But like, I don't see how you can justify that purchase price and then not think that they've got to build upon what's already out there, or make sure they're making the products even better to keep customers around, or fill requirements, or make the cloud operating model that VMware talks about, you know, easier to consume, easier to, you know, for customers to get on board with. Because if not, you know, that's a lot of money to invest in something that might not get the return that you're looking for. Viewing it strictly from like a business kind of standpoint. Now, those are my thoughts, everybody. Like, those are alleged thoughts from Jason. That's obviously not sanctioned by Pure or VMware or whatever, just so Rob, we're covered by any legality there.
I think we're covered by legality type of things. And, you know, in a podcast, you have a little bit more latitude to have an opinion, to make a take. That's the whole reason that we do these. And I ask those kinds of questions because people are inquiring. And again, you come from that world pretty recently. So it is interesting. And I don't think you want to walk away from a lot of that business has been built up over the last 15-20 years. And I even remember back in my, you know, in my son server days, and that was just starting to scratch the surface, and seeing the value that it provided in environments and what, you know, IT administrators and sysads could now do, because they could carve up workloads and not live in this bare metal world that was really challenging and, you know, forced certain operating system changes to make it work better. Yeah. Like you don't need things in the OS when you, in fact, some customers started talking about, when we go, well, what OS do you run for your IT? They go, we'll run VMware, right? They started treating it as their operating system. And that just shows how strong and powerful it is. But VMware is also really pivoted to not just being this on-prem thing. There's been a lot of work in and around hybrid cloud and working with other partners like Azure. How do you see those developments? I mean, it's kind of a natural evolution, right, of where they need to go. Because as you learned on the webinar you did this morning, great tech talk, right, on hybrid cloud, 75% of the respondents, which was a large number, like 700 or 800 people, 75% people said we're in hybrid cloud. And so VMware moving there seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't going to be a hot take for anybody or a newsflash, but I mean, cloud is here to stay. But you know, one thing that I always kind of view things as, you know, going back to my VAR days and consulting days, is, you know, there's always requirements and functionality that you need to look for. And, you know, cloud came out and everything should be cloud. And it's like cloud was a hammer and everything was a nail.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, we've all kind of figured out, like, that's not truly the case, right? There's the right tool for the right job, as cliche as that sounds. So going to the cloud, you know, it's also hard, as people have found out, but it's smart for VMware to offer an easy path to get there. With their VMC on AWS, or the AVS from Azure, GCP, and all these other kind of cloud platforms they offer, because, you know, lift and shift can make it easier. Sometimes customers do want to get out of the data center business, and maybe they have applications or reasons not to go quote unquote cloud native. But on the flip side of that, not everything is always going to end up in the cloud either. You know, I knew that again from my consulting days, or being a seller, it's like there are some on-prem workloads that are always going to stay on-prem, whether it's for performance reasons, data locality or data gravity, whichever buzzword there you want to use, or, you know, just requirements from regulatories or whatever, right? So cloud is definitely here to stay. It's definitely should be a piece of somebody's portfolio if it meets the requirements. But I'm, again, back to like VMware's future, I'm still one of those, and maybe it's because I've been around too long, Rob, like, but there will still be on-prem data centers.
Yeah.
So I think VMware's got a good angle of doing the on-prem stuff, and then also having the eye toward cloud native, as well as kind of their cloud options with their partners.
Well, back on the theme of VMware everywhere, and you, again, you trumpet this across the entire team, where do we see it relative to the use cases, right? I know we know that most databases are virtualized. There's some bare metal that's kind of hanging out there, but you've now got data protection aspects, and you just talked about cloud, but you're also seeing this morph into kind of the analytics and the AI space, right? It really spans across everything. Natural outgrowth of just a technology people want to use, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is where my bias comes in a little bit as a person who's built his career for the last, you know, 15 years around VMware and its ecosystem, is as the hypervisor has gotten better, you know, they have this concept of the monster VM, which folks are probably familiar with, where it's like, you know, the amount of RAM and CPUs and how large of storage you can throw at a VM these days is, can probably meet the most critical of critical workloads, right? Like I'm sure there's folks that still have some stuff that's running on fiber channel that's bare metal for like the utmost, you know, in low latency response, but, you know, that's probably like a stock exchange or somebody running something like that. But in my life, or my last couple of years, I've been hard pressed to find a workload that truly couldn't be virtualized. And I think we've kind of, well, at least VMware, I think, kind of cleared most of those humps, as you said, as databases became easier to virtualize. Like that was always the heavy rock to move early on, was database performance, right? But now you get into new use cases like AI ML. You see the work that VMware is doing with our partner NVIDIA as well, around, you know, GPUs and virtualizing those for those AI ML workloads to make that kind of more, that's easier to afford, right? Before bare metal on that, you bought a card, one system had access to it. It's kind of the same old story with VMware. Now I put an NVIDIA GPU in a server, I can carve that out amongst multiple workloads, right? So now I've got multiple data scientists that can have access to the GPU to run those workloads, right? So it's pretty much covers the gambit anymore. You know, databases, VDI, AI, ML, just, you know, traditional off the shelf applications that folks, you know, purchase and run, you know, for their business, regardless of what vertical they're in. EMRs for healthcare, right? I feel like Principal Skinner in The Simpsons, where I'm like, prove me wrong, children.
Yeah.
Like, show me a workload that nowadays that I can't virtualize. Like I'm also like, if you can bring me the data, great. I will see that, but until you can, you know, don't just go by seat of the pants or a feeling. I'll come with data, but yeah.
Sleek, noble Puma.
Yeah.
Principal of the mountains. Sorry. More Simpson-y stuff. One of my buddies will appreciate that one. Okay. So I love that backdrop and thanks. And I don't mind your bias, right? I think your bias is good and people showing up to listen here want to hear that bias. Like you've been on the inside, you've been a VAR, you've sold it, you've seen it evolve and you're seeing it spread with tendrils that go everywhere into all the various use cases. Now we come to the point where I think you came to Pure, right? Where we got you 7 months ago is you liked what we do on that side. So I want to dig into that. And there's other podcasts over time, folks, right? I've had Cody Hosterman on numerous times and we dive into the weeds there and I think Stamen, you know, different experts, but that's another thing that's really great about what we have here at Pure. We have a lot of experts, right? We have really great experts and not just in VMware, but MVPs in Microsoft and our customers, our prospects love that. It brings a lot of great credibility and you add to that for us. But what do you love about what Pure does? And I guess maybe why don't you riff on vVols virtual volumes a little bit at the start, because that's one that we tend to put out there for everybody to hear about and why it's important.
Yeah, I mean, from a technology perspective, and first off, it's again my early experience with it. It just works. You know, it's for those that I don't know. You brought up pop culture, so I'm throwing these out like the Ron Popeil said it and forget it, you know, type stuff. It's like if it's sized right, you know, if you need the capacity or whatever, but like, you don't, there's no knobs to turn. There's none of the, like, it just works out of the box. And, you know, my days as being a storage admin or VMware admin, like you always had to follow these guides, you had to turn all these knobs and all these other things. It's like, and nowadays people don't have that time to focus on that, right? Like everybody's got multiple hats and, you know, sometimes they might be able to dive into something. So from there, just the foundation of the technology has always been rock solid, right? Like it delivers, it does what it's supposed to do. It delivers it, you know, far exceeds what it's, you know, customers' expectations. But also then, you know, for me as a VMware guy, again, the integrations and the partnership that Pure has with VMware also leads to that, right? Because, you know, I had to learn, I say this joke to Cody, I had to learn storage because I'm a VMware person.
Yeah.
You know, and Cody was a storage person that kind of learned VMware. So I approach it a different way. And everything was like, okay, how do I do all this within vCenter so I don't have to leave the client, right? So we've got the plugin that brings all these features to, you know, quickly provision data stores or resize them or take snapshots, right? So that makes my life easier because I was like, well, I'm in the interface I want to be in. I don't want to log into this one and that one. Or, you know, us being a technical advanced partner, I believe is what it's called.
Yeah.
You know, our engineering and our PMs work directly with the engineering and PMs at VMware, right? So we both influence each other on how features and functionalities and integrations should work. And you mentioned vVols is a great one, right? Like we are definitely from a Pure perspective on that bandwagon. vVols solves a lot of problems. Not only does it solve problems, it makes admins' lives so much easier, both storage admins, VI admins, and database administrators as well, you know, for copy data management. And being into that kind of like ecosystem or that partnership with VMware also was something that enticed me. We're like, hey, where's my next stop in my career? Is because that connective tissue is there, right? And I know that that's a strong alliance between our two companies.
Yeah.
So that was another key factor.
Well, start with the why, right? I probably got you going down the road of like, what's so good too soon. What's the why? What happens in environments when VMware just sort of runs out of control, right? Because obviously people love it, they're using it, but with use comes expansion and growth and things occur. You get silos and you have to move things. Like, so what are those critical challenges that I'm a VI admin, I'm showing up to work every day and I'm like, I got to do this thing again. Like, what are those top of mind two or three things where it's the why? Like, why do we spend time on these integrations?
Sure.
To help these folks? What is their pain, Jason?
Yeah.
It's kind of what I'm saying.
For me, in my opinion, is there's kind of two things. There's the pain of when something's not working.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, like kicking the bottleneck down the road, right? But, you know, every VI admin or storage person's worst nightmare is when the phone, you know, the bat phone goes off and somebody says, this is slow. The application's slow. And you're like, oh, well, what does that mean? And then you log into the vSphere client or the vSphere, you know, and you start looking around and it's like, wow, I can look at the graphs in vSphere client. I can run ESX top. I log into the array. Like, you have to start, you know, maybe you've got a third party monitoring tool. Maybe you're using VROPS or, you know, whatever it's been rebranded today. I think it's ARIA something rather, or some third party monitoring tool, right? You've got like to start like correlating all this data. And sometimes you don't even know where to start. Well, with Pure and like our integration, and especially again with vVols as well, we make that so much easier. You know, we have Pure One with our AI ops where I can log in and I can see from a VM all the way down to the VMDK layer and be like, okay, there's the performance of this disk, or here's that data store. And I can see the IOPS and the latencies for that specific workload, as opposed to looking at just a data store that's got 25 VMs on. I'm like, okay, which one of these is the noisy neighbor, or which one's causing the impact, or all those kind of things, right? So being able to either quickly realize, A, it's not your problem.
Which is key. That's important.
Yeah. Kick the can down the road to somebody else, right? Like, yeah. And I mean, I know how that sounds, but I mean, sometimes it's you're guilty till proven innocent. And B, or just identifying the problem and getting it fixed quickly, right? And whether, you know, depending on what that bottleneck is, maybe it's moving it to a different ESXi host, or, you know, adding more storage or whatever the problem is. Like, that's the first one that we make life easier, both from just the traditional array, but it goes even further if customers leveraging vVols with our array as well. The second is probably provisioning. Again, one of the worst things, or one of the things that I always get asked when I was a consultant, like all the time, how big should my data stores be? Or how many VMs should I put on my data store? And it was like, and as a consultant, it depends.
I was gonna say, isn't the answer always it depends?
It always depends.
Like, you know? Like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah. And I used to walk people through like this crazy, like, okay, you know, what's your average VMDK size? Let's not have more than 20 VMs on here, and let's figure out your ESX top stats and all the, like, it was just like this weird, I mean, it worked, but it wasn't a perfect science, right? Because you had to log in, you picked a data store. It's like, okay, that data store is 50% free. Do I put a VM there? But that, just because it had free space, doesn't mean it's not like 90% utilized for performance, right? Like, it's all this kind of weird stuff. With vVols, you don't deal with any of that. You know, every VM is basically its own self-contained unit. You have this storage container, or I'm just going to call it a bucket, where I just point my VM creation to that bucket and it handles all of it. And I don't worry about data store sizing. I don't worry about how many VMs are on that. Or if I get into SRM and replication of like creating funky data store names of like platinum rep 5 sync 10, you know, so I know what VMs go on this data store to make sure that they're protected, right? Or whatever. Like, from then you can get into storage policy based management and you can get more granular. But, and all these things just make the admin's life easier, which then make your database admin's life easier, because now you get the protection. Or if I'm the storage person, their life's easier as well, right? So those are kind of like my top two things. And I'm assuming folks listening that kind of manage those environments really, I'm guessing those are not their top two. They're probably in their top five for sure.
Right, right. I'm sure that they can relate. But I love that you bring up the other people in the neighborhood, right? These are the people in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's an old one. There's a little, I think that's, what is that, Sesame Street?
100%, yeah.
Right, Sesame Street, right? So these are the people in my neighborhood. And I always look at that. I mean, we've got this really interesting constellation approach of all the different roles in the personas. But so many in my 5 years here, so many times when I've been involved with different account pursuits, we're always talking to the storage team, of course. Mm-hmm. But we get to the VI team and we solve a problem there. Like there's one account that that always stands out, and it was a VDI problem. And that was back in 2018. And we put in Pure and they operate for like 6 to 9 months. We're like, oh my gosh, this solves the main like couple of problems that we were talking about earlier, the ones you're just referring to. And then I start talking to the database administrators, and database administrators are going, hey, what happened? What changed? Everything's working much better now. What did you do? And then all of a sudden we're having a conversation with the DBAs, and the DBAs are asking us things about replication and, you know, how the virtualization works with the storage and with Oracle, for example. And then all of a sudden they're in on board, right? So it's nice to see this multiplicative effect that there's roles that are upstream and adjacent to just storage and classic IT that actually realize and get the benefits. And that's when it becomes really powerful, when you're not just selling storage to a storage team, it's you're talking about what you can do the whole organization to make it all better, even in some cases all the way up to the app owner stack, right? If we're talking to SAP basis people or the ERP folks who often don't know what's happening down in the deep layers down in storage, and they're, you know, we'll show up at those shows sometimes and they'll go, what are you doing here? You're selling hardware. And we go, well, you know, does your app ever slow down? Do you ever have outages on the weekends where you have to go in and test things? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's probably a result of your storage. But anyway, I just rambled because you got me excited about all the different roles, but
it's good. And I tease, you know, SQL Melody at SQL Melody on Twitter on our team. Melody's a great Mel's. She's fantastic. And, you know, she's a SQL or a Microsoft MVP focusing on SQL. And I always tease her, as you know, Rob, because my biggest challenge, both when I was a customer, meaning when I was working on customer, or even when I was working in the VARs, like dealing with DBAs, like they were always like very challenging. And I love teasing Mel on that because it's just, you know, it's a different kind of conversation. Like DBAs, I would talk to them like, I want to keep 20 copies of this backup. I'm like, I can't give you 20, you know, that's chewing up too much space. So let's figure out how we can leverage snapshots, or let's figure out how we can do this. But I also was like, why do you want, like, instead of just saying no right off the cuff, it's like, why do you want that? And just having that conversation across teams, it's like, well, let me help you. Like, why do you feel like you need 20 copies of this database? We can do some good copy data management stuff with our snapshotting on the Pure Array or with FlashBlade or something like that. That's probably going to be better than what you're doing. You just might not realize it yet because you're used to running a SQL maintenance job that just backs up and, you know, creates this backup on an F drive somewhere. You know?
Right. Yeah, we're going to set a record, everybody, for pop culture references. I need to put a buzzer or a ding sound in because you just did Jerry Maguire very sneakily and put that in. It's like when we do our Roger on Slack, and that's very much a first Star Wars episode one kind of thing that we put in. Sorry, everyone, if you're not following on that. But you mentioned something around replication just a bit ago, and that's one that I think is really interesting. Maybe controversial isn't the right word, but when you look at a VMware landscape, who ultimately is responsible for the data protection and for the replication? Because there's things we can do at the storage layer, but I know there's also software-based things with Site Recovery Manager. Where does that reside? Does that get tricky? Does that get challenging?
Do I get to say it depends?
Yeah, you can say it depends. Yeah. It depends is great.
I mean, the short answer is yes. Mm-hmm. The long answer is, you know, depending on the size of the organization, you know, they might have a dedicated storage team, right, that only manages the storage, and the VMware admins are probably working with them, like, to figure out the replication. Or, you know, in some shops, the VI admins are the storage admins, right? So, you know, they're talking to themselves and making things easier. So it definitely does depend. But regardless of who's wearing that hat, we definitely do make things easier, right? And there's different ways to manage that, right? So if you're the storage person that wears the hat and never logs into vCenter, you know, you can set all the replication policies and do all that stuff, obviously native within the array. But on the flip side of that, if I'm a VI admin, I might look at the storage person in the scenario and be like, hey, we can do that, but I'd really like to leverage vVols, because now I, as the VI admin, can get very granular on what I'm replicating. And again, that goes back to how granular you can get with vVols compared to a data store, right? So if I'm on our array or anybody's array, you know, so this is not an us thing, is if I've got 20 VMs on a data store, and I'm replicating that data store, I'm replicating all 20 VMs, yeah. Right? Back to my like getting funky with the names and stuff like that. So if I got test dev mixed in with production, you know, so if I've got some chocolate sprinkled in with, you know, my peanut butter or whatever.
Chocolate like with the peanut butter. There we go. Hey, that's one of our first 70s references, everybody.
They're all going to go over, right? Whereas with, I've got V-balls, I get to pick and choose. I don't have to worry about that. And I can even set the interval myself. So it just makes everybody's life easier. It's not about taking something away from somebody, you know, meaning, hey, I'm going to handle the replication, Mr. or Mrs. Storage person. But it's more like, hey, we can get more granular. We can make it more efficient for the business. You know, we can recover, you know, this set of apps this way, this set of apps the other way, you know, as it relates to site recovery manager. So I think it can be a win-win, you know, and again, yeah. If you're in a smaller shop, you're going to control all of it and you're going to see benefit. But if you're in a larger shop and you got a VI team and a storage team, there's going to be benefits for both as well. I hope that answered your question.
I think it did, because okay. I was gonna follow on, you know, the whole improv yes and thing, right? I was gonna be like, oh, you're addressing the granularity, right? Only replicate or care about, you know, not having to do everything. And then there's an efficiency aspect to that, right? There's not wasted time or there's not wasted effort or wasted resources in having to push everything that might be in a data store. You pick and choose what you want. So yeah, I think it answered it, and you addressed it really well with the size of the shop. It does change things if you're talking about a big giant enterprise with just massive amounts of people versus I wear three different hats here in our really small shop.
Right.
But either way, you got to replicate, you got to have security. And now, you know, and this whole ransomware thing, right, is, you know, I hear it's going to be a challenge for time to come.
Right.
That's another one that hits the VMware side too. And that's like a big Cody one too. Like Cody's always like ransom, you know, let's talk more about ransomware relative to VMware, but it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, the ransomware conversation, I mean, again, that whether you're using a Pure Array with VMware or you are connecting bare metal workloads to it, right? Like that's a concern for everybody. And we handle that again, bare metal VMware with, you know, safe mode. Feature plug, ding, 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 you know,
yeah.
Where, you know, the key there is to make sure, you know, that if I'm a ransomware, if I'm attacking, I got two things. First, I want to get into your environment. And two, I want to make it so you can't recover the data I'm trying to hold for ransom, right? That's because then I got nothing. And safe mode, you know, as the name implies, helps protect from that with the, you know, immutable snapshots and then making sure that somebody can't delete those, right? So ransomware does happen. They do want to hold your existing data hostage. I can go in and recover it without worrying about them like being able to block me from doing that, right? And I believe it's a 14-day at the beginning, but configure all the way up to 30 days,
yes.
Right? That mm-hmm. you can kind of have that deletion method protected. So, I mean, that's great because, again, like I said, a person that's trying to get your data, they want to encrypt it for their purposes and they want to make sure you can't recover it. Right, because they want to get their money, and we definitely help with that. Again, regardless if it's a VMware shop or a bare metal shop or a mixture of both.
Yeah, but I think it's good for the awareness, right? That's something in the VMware landscape that we can also help solve and help provide a solution for. Last thing, right? You and I have been around this industry for quite a while, and software upgrades—they're necessary. They're necessary evil. But they are challenging. And so I assume, well, I don't even know what is the cycle time that it depends that many customers choose to upgrade, for example, their vSphere, right? But with that some uncertainty and risk, and how do we play into that? Or even do we, right? Does storage have a role or do we have a benefit when somebody's going, well, we need to do this vSphere upgrade, but how's it all going to work? And you know, how's that going to play out? What does that look like? Have you gone through one of those?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's a larger conversation from a matrix spreadsheet, right? Like from supportability, but we won't try to boil the ocean in this conversation. I mean, I think from a VMware side of the house, you know, VMware has got leaps and bounds better about how you can upgrade a VMware environment. And I'm going to talk a basic VMware environment, like maybe you're just running vSphere with some ESXi hosts. You know, obviously, as you layer in NSX or other components, you know, things get a little bit more complicated. But they've done such a good job from my early days of 2.5 to where we're at on 8, where I'm sure most people listening to this, depending on when they started, were like, they only did upgrades on the weekends, or they had to do them in the evening because you just didn't know what was going to happen, or you wanted to remediate risk. Mm-hmm. But as you know, I was getting to the point when I was a consultant where we were doing upgrades in the middle of the day for customers because VMware's had gotten that piece locked down. Now, granted, I'm not going to say that sometimes there weren't challenges, right? We all know that software is software, but 9 times out of 10, if not more, 9.5 times out of 10, like we would do upgrades in the middle of the day and it would be fine. We've kind of taken a page from that book a little bit. You know, storage does need to be upgraded, right? We do, you know, hidden secret of our stuff is like our powers and our software. Like we have great hardware, but we have even better software. And it does need to be upgraded to get features and functionality. Like we talked about SafeMode and these other things that we're adding to the Purity operating environment. And we've made that process better, right? So now with, I think 6.4.2, if I have my exact Purity release version, we are now giving customers the options to do their own in-place upgrades, right? So now they're not having to cut a ticket or schedule time with Pure to do those upgrades. We've done our homework and made that process better so it fits their timelines, right? So they want to do it during the day or do it in the evenings. It's now they've got more control, right? Which I think is what it really comes down to is, you know, I want to be able to upgrade my software regardless of when I want to be able to do it and when I'm comfortable doing it. And if that's middle of the day, great. Or if I'm still going to take outage windows or maintenance windows, hopefully we're just giving people their weekends back. Maybe they're working a little late in the evenings, but it's not a huge ordeal where somebody's coming on site, you know, carrying a bag and you're like, oh my God, I thought you were upgrading software. Why are you bringing in a huge toolkit of things, you know, to make that happen?
No, and thanks for that, because I know that's always a complex process. And again, blatant plug for the Pure Report. We did cover the Purity 6.4 updates in an episode, I think 1 or 2 months ago. So if you just scroll past this one a little bit further down, wherever you consume and listen to podcasts, you'll be able to find that one that I did with Janet from the FlashArray team, where we go through, you know, that feature that Jason just mentioned about upgrade when you want to and safe mode on by default and some other really good things that are in there. And as Jason says, the software is the shining star of the solution that we provide. The hardware is really cool too, for those of us IT propeller heads that like to geek out on it, but really where we can add the value for things around VMware and elsewhere is definitely in the software. I guess final note, cause I got to let you go. We got to get back to, you know, real work. This is day jobs. Way too much fun. Our day jobs on a Friday here where we're trying to check out maybe a little bit, tiny bit early. Where do we show up? We're pretty present in the VMUG community and some other experts, maybe if folks are wondering, okay, I'm interested in this. Jason said a lot of interesting things, and certainly you can, you know, reach out to him, you know, find him on LinkedIn or on Twitter to a lesser extent. But there's other people we have that are really solid, that are really fun experts. You've been doing some things with Tristan lately. Jace McCarty is a longtime VMware guy who's doing our alliances, but I don't know. Talk to that a little bit. What are the resources and where do we show up and what do we do?
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely, I mean, for this audience, I mean, we're very active in the VMUGs, the user cons. I don't have the exact calendar in front of me, but I know this week, Tristan Todd, one of our field solutions architects focused on VMware, he was in the great city of Philadelphia at the user cons. We have the Seattle user con coming up in a couple of weeks that I'll be at with Tristan as well. But I also know David Stamen, our kind of like, you know, East Coast, West Coast FSAs, is going to be out in like Nashville and some of the events on the East Coast. So, you know, stop by the user cons. We're definitely gonna have a booth. We definitely have presentations. You know, we've got a couple of good ones that we're doing right now. We released a new feature in the vSphere plugin back to our software to manage vVol's replication, which kind of looks like an SRM Lite, if folks are familiar with SRM. So check that out. But yeah, we're definitely in the VMUGs. We have Tech Talk series. You mentioned I did one just yesterday. We got some more coming up around some more VMware integration. So that's a program that we run those every Thursday. We do try to keep it technical. We do a little marketing up front.
I was going to say it's deeper dive. Like it's
yeah,
not,
I'm in marketing, but we go through a couple slides and then we get technical, we get to demos, you know, so for those that are listening, it's like, I don't want to go listening to a timeshare pitch. But yeah, we're definitely active. And then of course on, you know, the Twitters and everything else and the LinkedIn. So.
And not too early to promote our VMware Explorer presence, right? August 21st to 24th looks like on the calendar in Las Vegas, it looks like this year for VMware Explorer. That was the first time I met you in person last year, was popping down to San Francisco to the old Moscone and hanging out there. And that was still a really fun show with a lot of people and busy in-booth theater and just a lot of good stuff going on. So we're going to do that as well. And if you're planning to go this year, stop by and see us for a little bit of swag and more importantly, to meet the experts and talk through how we can perhaps solve some of your challenges around many of the areas or more that Jason has been talking about. One more thing.
And Rob, June.
Well,
we have this little thing in June.
I kind of plug it on almost every podcast. Okay. So yes, you know, Pure Accelerate, join us. Also, first time we will be heading to Las Vegas to the brand new shiny Resorts World Las Vegas, made up of three different Hilton properties. We would love to see you there. Registration is open and it is a fee-free registration.
Oh, wow.
So no cost to come to that one. That's right. Yes. Just
I didn't know that.
And do your travel in your hotel and get there. And there won't be some exorbitant conference fee. We just did away with that. Come and see us. Come hang out. So yes, another great plug. And really for everything else, VMware that you want to see what's going on, there's a vanity URL set up, folks. PureStorage.com/VMware is where you can go. And if you want to check out the Tech Talk series or the Coffee Break series, you can go to PureStorage.com/events. And the entire event center is there with all the webinars and tier one and tier two events that we do. And we would love to see you and have you check that out. Mr. Langer, time well spent.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing, Rob. I know we're short on time, but since we brought up Accelerate, for any of our Canadian listeners, I will talk storage or VMware for coffee crisp bars. So if you come down to Accelerate and you're from Canada, or if you can find them in the States, you know, I'm always an easy bribe with coffee crisp bars.
I'm holding up the one right now. No, but it's great pod, right? When you're showing things that people can't see. Right. Just so everybody knows, I'm holding up a coffee crisp right now that Jason gave me back in August when I saw him at the VMware show. And it is a good Nestle product. You gave me two and I ate one there on the spot and I'm just keeping this one almost more as a souvenir. I probably should not. It's probably reached the expiration date now, but it's sitting right over there by some of my other goofy stuff that I have sitting in my desk. Hey man, this was a ton of fun and let's have you back and do it again soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Got it. And appreciate all of you out there listening to this episode of the Pure Report. Keep coming back, keep telling friends and colleagues and sharing the episodes, and we will keep bringing great guests onto the show like Jason Langer. And with that, we will wrap. For Pure Storage and Jason Langer, this is Rob Ludeman saying, don't look back. Something might be gaining on you.